Hi, welcome to another inspirational message by Pastor Alex Pappas, Senior Pastor at Oceans Unite Christian Center.
So this morning I want to get straight into the Word, and we're going to be speaking about the subject of the Spirit of Faith. The Spirit of Faith. And you know, when you take on a subject like faith, it is just enormous. I mean, it's just, there's so much to discuss and so much to look into, and the gifts of the Spirit and all this stuff. But I want to talk to you this morning specifically about what it means to have the Spirit of Faith, or a Spirit of Faith. I was listening to some videos while I study. I always look at all kinds of stuff, videos and all kinds of different scholars that I follow, that I look at, and just reading books and just going through material. And I came across a short little video. It was about 2 minutes long, of a theologian. I think he was from the UK. It was so powerful. It was so touching. And he made this statement. He said, faith is the link between us and God. It's the one thing that connects us to Him. And you know, someone might be saying, well, you know, Jesus is the link. And yes, He is. But remember, it's the Word of God. And Jesus is the Word of God. So faith connects us to God, without a doubt. Faith is the difference between death and life, normal life on earth and real meaning to life, true love. You'll find out what that really is when you begin to walk in faith. The difference between, as I said, life and living a supernatural life. Faith is something that we as believers have to walk in. We have to operate by faith. The Bible says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. So in other words, without faith, you know, He's not happy with us. You know, you can't even believe that you're saved without faith. Because how do you know that you're saved? By faith. How do you know that you're serving Him and that your life is right? You know by faith. So faith is the requirement for us as believers in our walk with Him that really keeps us moving forward. Many people, I've heard them say that faith is blind. Well, I don't really agree with that, because I think that faith is absolutely not blind. Faith is not blind because faith, we put our faith in what we know is truth. I'm going to say that again. We put our faith in what we know is truth. So if we know that God's Word is truth, we are not led blindly. Can you say amen? You know, we may not always see what we're believing for, but we know that if the Bible says it's truth, then it has to be ours. Can you say amen? The Bible says that in Romans 10:17, it says, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So in other words, how does faith come to us? It comes to us through hearing, by hearing. So we know that it's by hearing. Faith gets activated as we hear. But what is it that we need to hear for faith to work? The Bible uses a Greek word called rhema. It says faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. That word there's the word rhema or rhema, which basically means Word of God. But in the Greek, it means spoken word. It's living word. It's breathed word. It's not the logos, which is the written word. So it's when the word gets put into action. It's when the word jumps off the page, and for some reason you don't really know what it is, but all of a sudden you just start to say what you just read, and it just starts to make sense because it's becoming alive. That's called the rhema word. I did nothing. I did nothing. It's somebody else. Somebody in the back. So faith comes through the rhema word of God, the spoken word of God. But how many of you know that before you can speak something, you first have to hear it? In the Bible, we see the children of Israel as they're coming out of Egypt. They get to this point where they're standing in front of an ocean, the Red Sea. They're standing in front of it. And now they have to cross, because behind them is the enemy that's chasing after them. And the enemy wants to destroy them, wants to kill them because they're upset that they let them go. Pharaoh decided that this was a big mistake. We need to get them, bring them back, or do whatever he wanted to do to them. And when they get there, God speaks to Moses. Moses hears God. And when he hears God, he takes a step of faith and he strikes the water and the water parts. And let's take a look at what the Bible says. Let me give you the scripture real quick. It is Hebrews 11:29. Watch this. Hebrews 11:29. By faith, they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land. So how did the children of Israel cross the Red Sea? They crossed by faith. The word came. Moses heard the word. The people, the children of Israel, believed that God had a promise for them. He was taking them into the promised land. The word came. He acted on the word. The sea parted and they went across the sea. When they looked at that sea, when they got there, that sea was not parted. It was still flowing. So they couldn't see it yet, but they heard it. God had said that you will go across. Strike the water and you'll go across. What happened to the Egyptians? It says there that by faith they passed through the sea as by dry land, whereas the Egyptians attempting to do so were drowned. The Egyptians heard nothing. The Egyptians saw that the sea was parted. And they thought that they could also cross over. The Bible says that we walk by faith and not by sight. So it's not always what you see, but what you hear that's important. You see, you're in the world, and the world is saying all kinds of things to you. This is right. You can even call your child no gender anymore. But what really matters is, what does God say? Because if you want to know what's going to have the power to change everything in your life, you have to have these things open. And it's really not these things, it's really your spirit that has to be open and believe what God says. Faith comes by hearing. Hearing what? Hearing the word of God, not hearing what everybody else has to say. Not hearing what the spirit of the world has to say. Jesus came that you might have life and life abundantly. If you want an abundant life, you have to do what God says. Because abundance comes from the word of God. Hearing what? Hearing the word of God. Can you say amen? The Egyptians heard nothing. They saw. They saw, oh, the sea's parted. We can go through too. No, why? They didn't hear anything. So as soon as those Israelites were out of that water, the faith was no longer there and that sea closed. And they died, right? Are you guys okay? It's very quiet in Vero Beach this morning. Amen. So we see a very powerful principle. We see that in order for faith to work, we have to hear what? Hear the word of God. So the word of God is very powerful. But I want to show you two principles this morning that will cause your faith to completely be transformed. And I can honestly say this. I remember in the old church, I used to say this nearly every week, and I really believed it. But this morning, I want to tell you that this word today has the potential to change your life completely. And I mean that from the very depths of my heart. This word today can change everything. It can change your finances. It can change your marriage. It can change your situation with your kids. It can change everything. Now, what is it that will cause us or cause our faith to really be in action in our lives? Two things. Two things. The first key to walking in the spirit of faith is to speak what he says. Watch this. Mark 11:22. Mark 11:22. So Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain. See, he speaks, says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he asks. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask, when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. Now, first it says, have faith in God. Faith comes from hearing, by hearing by the word of God. Okay? The word, though, cannot be here. It has to be here. It has to be here in order for it to begin to actually have power. If I had to hit you with my Bible, it'll hurt a little bit. But it won't really cause transformation in your life. But if I have the word in my heart and in my mouth and I speak that word over you, it has the potential to really change you. Now watch. In this context of scripture, Jesus is actually dealing with the demonic spirit. He's speaking about casting out a spirit. First he says that if you cast a spirit by Beelzebub, a kingdom cannot stand and divided against itself. And he's talking about a mountain almost like a spiritual force. It's a force, a stronghold, an enemy, the enemy. And he says that you must speak to the mountain and command it to go. What must you speak to the mountain? Let me put it to you this way. I have a problem. Begin to speak what he says. Begin to say what he says. And then the problem gets solved. Why? Because the problem has to submit to this book. The problem has to submit to this thing. The stronghold, the mountain, the enemy, the demon, whatever it is that's coming against you, cannot stand when this book is active, but it must be out of your mouth. You must speak it. It must be rhema. It must be in you, breathing, living. You know it's truth. And so when you speak, you don't doubt because your faith is in God. Amen. Okay. I always preach with my iPad, so I hardly ever have my Bible yet. It's kind of nice. I think I'm going to do it from now on. This does not mean I want a Ferrari. I'm going to have a Ferrari. No. No, it doesn't mean that. I don't care what they say. Doesn't, can't mean that. Because it's not my will, it's his will. Listen, he wants to bless you, absolutely. You can sow seeds and, you know, God's, I think he laughs at us half the time. But he does honor his word. But it's not to be abused. It's have faith in God. A mountain is a problem. A mountain is something that's coming against you. A mountain is something that wants to destroy you. So you take that word, and it's like you're standing in a situation where it's life or death, and this thing wants to destroy your child, and you've got the word of God, and you say, no, every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Devil, I command you in the name of Jesus, go! And then it has to go. Because you've taken his word and you've spoken his word, and then it has power. It doesn't mean we can just do whatever we want and have whatever we want. It doesn't mean that. Now watch, 2 Corinthians 4, verse number 7. But we have this treasure. This is Paul speaking now in a very difficult time of his life. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. This is so powerful. He's saying here, and I don't have time to teach this to you now, but he's saying here that everything that flows through your life, your destiny, your purpose, you must realize it has nothing to do with you. It doesn't come from you or your abilities. It comes from him. It comes from above. It comes from God. The excellency of the power that operates in your life comes from above. Can you say amen? Amen. He says, we are hard pressed. But after he makes this statement, he speaks. He says, we are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed. In other words, it's bad. But not in despair. Persecuted. but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed. Because you must understand, he knows something. Something's in his spirit. Something's coming out of his mouth. He's saying, listen, I want you to know that things might just get a little bit rough for you. Things might get a little bit bad for you. And we are persecuted, but we are not struck down. We are being attacked, but actually there's something more that I want you to know, because we're still alive. We're still carrying on. That there's something that God has given me that I want you to know. In the face of adversity, I can continue to go on. Then he says in verse number 10, always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifest in our body. Wow. For we who live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus also may be manifest in our mortal bodies. So then death is working for us, but life in you. Now watch. And since we have the same spirit, small s, of faith. The spirit of faith. And then he quotes a psalm. He quotes David. According to what is written, I believed and therefore I spoke. We also believe and therefore speak. Speak what? He says, we are hard pressed on every side, but we are not crushed. Because he knows what this book says. We are perplexed, but we are not in despair. We are persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. It doesn't matter what comes against me. There's something on me. There's something I have. There's something I carry that is different, that allows me to overcome every obstacle. I have a spirit of faith. My spirit operates by faith and not by sight. I may feel like I'm going to die, but I'm still going to go on. Now watch, because I want to go to the psalm to show you why he quotes the psalm. And go study it. I can't read the whole thing. I've only got a few minutes left and a lot to do. So let's go to Psalm 116, verse number 5. Paul says, I believe and therefore I spoke. We also believe and therefore speak. Quoting the psalm. Now watch. Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Yes, our God is merciful. The Lord preserves the simple. I was brought low and he saved me. Return to your rest, O my soul. He's talking to his inner man. For the Lord has dealt bountifully with you. For you have delivered my soul from death. Sounds rough. Sounds like things haven't been easy for him. My eyes from tears. That doesn't sound like it's been a fun time. And my feet from falling. It sounds like David's actually at a place where he feels like he's about to die. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I believed, therefore I spoke. I am greatly afflicted. And David gets out of this mess. Why? Because he knows what God has said. He knows what the word said. And there's a spirit with David. When David went to face Goliath, the children of Israel, the army of Israel, was so afraid of this giant. But David said, who is this uncircumcised Philistine? There was something different about David. There was a different spirit that was on David. He believed that what God said was true. If this uncircumcised Philistine is not a covenant child of God, I don't care how big he is. I don't care what kind of mountain he looks like. I know what the word says, and we can take you out. And that's exactly what he did. David had a different spirit. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 1:7, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Why? Because of what the book says. What does it say about you? What does it say if we obey him? What does it say if we follow him? What does it say if we listen to him? What does it say if we speak what he speaks? If we do what he does, we say what he says. What will happen? You will have peace. Jesus came preaching the gospel of the kingdom. He said that the qualities of the kingdom are joy and peace Why? Because when you follow the king and you do what the king says, everything changes. Well, you know, if we can call our children it, then we'll be happy. Whatever. Isaiah 49:21, watch. As for me, says the Lord, this is my covenant with them, my spirit who is upon you. My words which I have put in your mouth shall not depart from your mouth, nor from the mouth of your descendants, nor from the mouth of your descendants' descendants, says the Lord, from this time and forevermore. In other words, this word, what's in this word, the promises of this word, and what this book contains will not only be for then and for the then descendants, but it will be forevermore. In other words, the same power, the same authority, the same spirit of faith that was active with David, with Joshua, with Jacob, with all of them, is still very active right now. But speaking has so much to do with it. Because the first thing that happens is when faith comes to you, when the word comes to you, you must begin to speak it. Because it must become a part of you. It must become who you are. Joel 3:10 says this. Joel 3:10. Beat your plowshares into swords and your pruning hooks into spears. Let the weak say, I am strong. Let the weak say, there we go, speaking. Romans 8:31. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? If God is for us, who can be against us? When the enemy comes against you like a flood, who is for you? Well, you know, I think God is for me. I think maybe. No, God is for you. If the Bible says He's for you, then He's for you. If you listen to this book, if you obey this book, if we take this book and we take every word that is in this book, because this word contains words, words that are alive, words that still breathe and have life, words that raise the dead, words that heal the sick, words that change lives, words that bring deliverance, words that save souls, words that have life and life more abundantly. Hebrews 13:6, so we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, I will not fear. What can man do to me? Luke 4:32, and they were astonished at his teaching. This is Jesus' teaching. For his words was with authority. His word was with authority. When Jesus spoke, he spoke with authority. Where did they see that authority? In his words. When he spoke, there was authority. Can you say amen, guys? Now watch. I'm going to give you one more quick example. We all know the story of Joshua and Caleb and the children of Israel. Moses wants them to cross over and to go and look at the promised land. The word has already come to the children of Israel that there is a promise for you. There's a promised land, a land flowing with milk and honey, and I'm going to give it to you. And they go, spies, they go out, Joshua and Caleb are with them. They come back, and when they come back, they talk about this land. It's exactly what God said. It's flowing with milk and honey. The grapes are like pineapples. They're so big. Okay, not really, but they were really big, amen? And it's just such a blessed land. It's so amazing, it's so incredible, it's so wonderful. But have a look at what takes place. Let's go to Numbers 13, verse number 30. Then Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and take possession, for we are well able to overcome it. But the men who had gone up with him said, we are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. Two completely different opinions. Both have been given the same promise. Both have been given the same word. Both have been given this word, but the one chooses to believe the word. The one chooses not to believe the word, because the one's walking by faith and the one's walking by what they saw. Well, we were like grasshoppers in their sight. We can't overcome that enemy. Look at what God has to say about this. Watch this. Numbers 14:24. Watch. But my servant Caleb, because he has a different spirit in him, he has a different spirit in him and has followed me fully. Oh my God, that's powerful. Caleb has a different spirit. What spirit? He has a spirit of faith because he believes, he follows the Lord fully. In other words, every word, I believe God. I don't care what the enemy looks like. I believe your word. And the Lord says he has a different spirit in him and has followed me fully. I will bring into the land where he is sent, and his descendants shall inherit it. So him and his descendants will inherit it because he follows me fully. He has a different spirit. Let's quickly go back and have a look. Caleb's speech is different to the others. Caleb says, let us go up at once and take possession, for we are well able to overcome it. He knows there's opposition, but he knows that God has spoken. The other children of Israel say this, we are not able to go up against them, against the people. Two completely different types of speech. Caleb has a different spirit. David had a different spirit. The children of Israel with David, they were too afraid. The whole army would be afraid. Goliath would walk out and he would taunt and mock the children of Israel. David, a young shepherd boy that doesn't even have a proper weapon, goes out there and says, who is this? Because he has a different spirit. But I want you to notice something. Joshua's attitude goes beyond speaking. He says, let us go up at once and take possession. In other words, he's saying, what are you waiting for? Let's go and do. Everybody say do. It's wonderful to hear and it's good to speak. But in order for you to truly walk with a spirit of faith active in your life, you must go beyond speaking only and also be a doer of the word. Now watch. First key, speak the word. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. We speak, therefore, because we believe we speak, right? Secondly, we do. Well, I thought Pastor Alex in the New Testament, we don't have to do anything. We are saved by grace. Amen? But if you want to inherit promises and walk in victory and do the things that God wants you to do, listen, the enemy is still out there. James 2, verse 17. This is New Testament stuff. Watch. James 2, 17. Well, he's only speaking to a few people. Well, then let's take the Bible, break it up, and only a few things will apply to me and only a few things will apply to you. That's crazy. James 2, 17. Thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works and I will show you my faith by my works. You believe that there is one God, you do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. But do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? In other words, we can talk the talk, but do we do what this book says? Do we do, and are we obedient to what God says in His Word? There are promises for you, but do what He says, or else your faith is dead. And you will never walk in victory. And God desires greatly that you walk in victory. That you have His promises in your life. He wants to bless you. He wants to prosper you. He wants to deliver you. He wants to save you. Those are things for you. We shouldn't walk and live as defeated believers. We shouldn't. Can you say amen, guys? Okay, let me give you a few more scriptures and then I'll close. Hebrews 11:8. By faith, Abraham obeyed. Everybody say obeyed. When he was called to go out to the place with which he would receive as an inheritance, and he went out not knowing where he was going. But what did he do? He didn't know the direction he had to go, but he obeyed God's voice when God spoke to him. You may not always be able to see it, but if God says do it, do it. If God says that pillar is black, it's not red. Doesn't matter how much you want it to be red. If he says it's black, it's black. Can you say amen? Luke 8:21. But he answered and said to them, this is Jesus now, my mother and my brothers are these who hear the word of God and do it. Everybody say do it. Luke 11:28. But he said, more than that, blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it. You see, all of this will produce in you a spirit of faith. Because when the word comes to you, you keep it in your heart. You begin to speak it. You begin to speak against your problems. You begin to speak against your circumstances. What do you speak? You speak his word. And everything begins to change. Well, you know, maybe God still heals. Well, you know, maybe God wants to bless me. No, what does it say about blessing? And what are the conditions? What does he say in his word? If he says that we must do something, we must do it. If he says we must love our neighbor as ourselves, we must do it. If he says we must love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your strength, that doesn't mean he wants half of it. It means all. Do you want half the blessing or all the blessing? Do you want to walk in a little bit of victory or do you want to walk in all the victory? And if that's the case, we have to obey what he says. Can you say amen? Okay. I'm almost done, guys. Are you all okay? Matthew 7:21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. But he who does, everybody say does, the will of my Father in heaven. Whoa. Romans 10:17. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We have to get this book in our hearts. We have to know the promises of God. We have to be obedient to this, not the spirit of this world that is teaching us and our children that they must do it their way. And they have rights. No, listen, whatever that book says, that's what we obey. My rule book is that book. My guidelines are those guidelines. I believe that what that book says is truth. Can you say amen? And that's where I make my decisions. When it talks about abortion, what does the book say? When it talks about what our children will be, what does that book say? When it talks about disciplining my children, what does the book say? When it talks about how I'm supposed to live my life, what does the book say? When it talks about anything, what does the book say? Not what everybody else says. It's not what some say. It's what he says. Smith Wigglesworth made a powerful statement. He said this. Some people feed their bodies 3 hot meals a day and their spirits 1 cold snack a week and wonder why their faith is weak. In the Bible, we see different people, characters, that God even names by name. He wants you to know who they are because they are different. Let's take a look at it real quick. And then I'll close. Acts 11:22. Acts 11, verse 22. Are you guys okay? Praise God. Then news of these things came to the ears of the church in Jerusalem. And they sent out Barnabas to go as far as Antioch. And when he came and had seen the grace of God, he was glad and encouraged them all that with purpose of heart they should continue with the Lord. For he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith. And a great many people were added to the Lord. Why did we need to know about Barnabas? Because of two things. He was filled with the Holy Spirit and he was full of faith. He was different. There was something different about him. He was full of faith. Acts 6, verse number 8. And Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and signs among the people. Caleb had a different spirit. David had a different spirit. Paul said, listen, regardless of what's going on, I have the spirit of faith. In other words, I will not submit to what this world says. I know what God says, and I'm going to live by faith. Can you say amen? How do I run my business? By what I want to do or what everybody tells me, or do I do it according to the word? If I do it according to the word, I will be blessed. How do I run my household? I run it according to the word. If you do it according to the word, it will be blessed. How do you run your church, Pastor Alex? I do it according to the word. If I do it according to the word, it will be blessed. Not my way, but your way, God. What does your word say about this? What does your word say about this? And when I look at it and I see it, faith begins to change it and it becomes alive and I begin to speak it and I begin to do it and I have a different spirit. Now watch. I don't want to over-spiritualize it, so I'm going to try and give you an example. At Christmas, we talk about having a Christmas spirit. I'm not talking about the Holy Spirit or the Spirit or that. I'm talking about having a Christmas. What does that mean? What does it mean? You know, I have the Christmas spirit this year. Well, what it means is that you went out and bought a Christmas tree. You hung stuff on your tree. You sing carols. You eat way too many cookies. You wear these really ugly sweaters. You do all this Christmas stuff and you're all excited because it's Christmas time and you have the Christmas spirit and everything is Christmas, Christmas, Christmas. Well, having a spirit of faith is the same thing, except now it's the word of God. Now instead, I wake up in the morning and I open the word. Before I go to bed at night, I'll have a look at what God says about my children. When I wake up in the morning, I read what he says. When I get to work, I have a problem. What does the word say about this? What's different about me? I have a spirit of faith. I listen to what he says. What he says goes. Nothing else goes. I believe in your word, Lord. I believe what you say, Lord. And I give you all the glory and the honor for it. And I thank you for it. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. One more scripture and I'll close. Watch this. Isaiah 48, 17. Thus says the Lord, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, I am the Lord your God, who teaches you to profit, who leads you by the way you should go. Oh, that you would heed my commandments. Then your peace would be like a river, and your righteousness like the waves of the sea. The solution to life, to living and to really, really walking with God is obeying what he said. Jesus made a profound statement. He said, a new commandment I give unto you. When they asked him what was the most important commandment, he said that you love the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, that you love your neighbor as yourself. If you do these things, listen, all the other commandments, they will come, they'll follow. Because what will happen is it will cause you to have a hunger for more of his truth, of his word. Because his love has the power to change everything, and he does love you so much that he sent his son to die for you. He sent his word to die so that every time you speak it, life comes. Every time you do it, life comes. Can you say amen, guys? Let's bow our heads for just a moment. Father, we thank you this morning because we know, Lord, that you have given us everything we need to overcome. You sent your word and healed. You healed us. You healed our disease. You caused us to have life and life abundantly. Father, it's hard because this world pulls at us. And we want to do it our own way so often when the solution is right there next to our bedstand, in our book, your word, the living word. Father, I pray that no one will leave here this morning the same. The guys watching online, Father, that they will not be the same after this morning. And if you've come here this morning or you're watching online, listen, this is not just something we do every week because it's just because. We do it because I really don't want anyone to leave here the same. If your life isn't right with Jesus this morning, give your life to Him today. Make a commitment to Him today. If you say, Pastor Alex, my life isn't right. I have not been obedient to God. I've not really served Him, followed Him the way that I should. But I want to make right with Him today. If that's you, just quickly slip your hand up. I want to pray for you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Hands going up all over. God bless you. God bless you, sir. God bless you, sir. Anybody else say, God bless you, ma'am. God bless you, ma'am. I see your hands. Thank you so much. God bless you. You can put your hands down. Thank you. Anybody else said, I'm not going to leave this open for long. Anybody else said, Pastor Alex, please include me in this prayer. God bless you, ma'am. Thank you so much. God bless you, sir. God bless you. God bless you over there. God bless you. Thank you. Anybody else said, Pastor? Thank you, sir.
We hope you enjoyed today's teaching. For more teaching like this and other material, please visit our website at www.oceansunite.com.